With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. Soldiers from the 1890s who participated in the Battle of Wounded Knee will keep their medals of honor. To some, though, that battle is instead a massacre against the native peoples of South Dakota. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
In many circles, the 1890 Battle of Wounded Knee is instead known as the Wounded Knee Massacre. It took place on the land of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says recipients of the Medal of Honor from that event will not change. He made the announcement on his Twitter account.
Under my direction, we're making it clear without hesitation that the soldiers who fought in the Battle of Wounded Knee in 1890 will keep their medals. And we're making it clear that they deserve those medals. This decision is now final, and their place in our nation's history is no longer up for debate. We salute their memory, we honor their service, and we will never forget what they did.
After the massacre, the U.S. Army awarded 19 Medals of Honor specifically for service at Wounded Knee. While reports on the exact number of casualties differ, in that battle, the U.S. military entered the southwestern South Dakota reservation and killed between 250 and 300 Lakota people, mostly civilians. Even in 1890, the response was not universally celebratory. Major General Nelson Miles described the massacre as, quote, the most abominable military blunder and a horrible massacre of women and children. However, Hegseth says the effort to remove these medals, including the Removing the Stain Act and a prior inquiry by his predecessor, Lloyd Austin, amounted to little more than political posturing.
Former Secretary Lloyd Austin, for whatever reason, I think we know, he was more interested in being politically correct than historically correct, chose not to make a final decision.
In recent years, in response to historical revisionism and a lack of reporting on war crimes against the nation's indigenous peoples, some have called the massacre to be the worst mass shooting event in American history. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
A Custer man has received the maximum sentence for attempting to disarm a highway patrol trooper. John Koser pleaded guilty to the Class 4 felony and was sentenced in Rapid City to the maximum sentence of 10 years Thursday. The events took place in March at a traffic stop for speeding and equipment violations while Koser was on felony probation. The highway patrol says after Koser tried to run, the officer attempted a taser deployment and ultimately found himself in a physical altercation with Koser. While on top of the officer, Koser then reached for the officer's duty belt and unlatched the holster. Backup then arrived just before Koser reached the firearm to complete the arrest. The State Gaming Commission reminds the public that private possession of slot machines is illegal under state law. This comes after a Belvedere woman was found in possession of and attempting to sell seven such machines. Those machines were ultimately confiscated by law enforcement. Owning a slot machine is a Class 1 misdemeanor. However, unlicensed ownership of slot machines made before the year 2000 is legal when not used for gambling purposes. This month, a UN committee declared the ongoing violence by Israeli forces against the Palestinian people constituted a genocide. However, South Dakota's representative in the U.S. House isn't so sure. SDPB CJ Keene checks in.
In general, South Dakota's congressional delegation has supported Israel. Congressman and gubernatorial candidate Dusty Johnson says not everyone agrees with the United Nations' recent assessment.
Well, clearly what's going on in Gaza is really unfortunate. Now, I mean, any war in history, unfortunately, has seen innocents and non-combatants killed. It's one of the reasons we work so hard to avoid war. There have been some analyses that have reached a very different conclusion than the United Nations. Part of the issue why there's a little trust of the United Nations is they have been so resolutely anti-Israel for 50 years.
While not all international bodies agree the conflict constitutes genocide, others do. The International Court of Justice ruled in 2024 Palestinians have, quote, a plausible right to protection from genocide, and Amnesty International describes genocide as, quote, the only reasonable conclusion after the events. Johnson does concede that Israel deserves some degree of scrutiny.
That doesn't mean Israel can't do better. Israel can absolutely do better in how they're prosecuting this war, understanding that the existence of Hamas, though, is a clear and existential threat to Israel.
The International Criminal Court has also issued arrest warrants for Israeli leaders on war crime and crimes against humanity charges. As of September 25th, though, those charges do not include genocide. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
A new report suggests tariffs and an international trade war are creating volatility across South Dakota's agriculture industry. South Dakota News Watch reports the instability is resulting in record prices for some livestock producers, while soybeans and corn farmers are facing potential financial disaster. The report says cattle and sheep ranchers are seeing strong prices at the markets. This comes as beef prices continue to rise at the grocery store. However, row crop farmers see storm clouds brewing. A spokesperson for the South Dakota Soybean Association says the loss of the Chinese market is leaving a major gap in the traditional marketplace. He said he's worried the U.S. is losing out on these markets to South American countries. While unverified, it appears the petition effort to put Rapid City TIF districts to a vote has widely succeeded. City officials report well over 5,000 signatures were submitted before the Friday deadline. 2,572 was the target mark for the petition effort. If verified, that would put the Liberty Land TIF district to a public vote in an upcoming election. That vote could take place in the June municipal election, or a special election could be called. Labor data and business experts have long noted the shortage of job skills across the country. South Dakota's largest university is echoing that data by saying non-technical strengths, such as communication, are harder to come by. This is leading faculty to readjust how they relay those skills. South Dakota State University began developing a model where faculty on campus receive extra guidance on teaching practical job skills that aren't just from one area of study. Carla Hunter, a communications professor, was asked to lead the initiative. She says given the workforce challenges this generation faces, she felt the need to, quote, pay it forward.
One of the differences that I first started to notice was that students really hated to talk on the phone. They would avoid it at all costs. And I noticed it with millennial generations, even people who had graduated from college. And it's because they weren't desensitized to talking on the phone.
Hunter added that the faculty workshops also touch on efficient communication with fellow workers, which can be a challenge in a society that changes rapidly. The World Economic Forum says as the labor force goes through transformation with AI, 63% of businesses are reporting that skill gaps, such as effective communication, are the biggest barrier to successfully adapting to the transformation. We are right around the midpoint in the South Dakota high school football season, which means the best teams are starting to rise to the top. On this week's Morning in Play, SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera take a look at how the preseason media projections have played out this far.
And welcome to another Your Morning in Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. Jandy, you know, looking at this week, we thought it'd be a fun week to just talk about, as we're sort of at that midpoint, a little bit past the midpoint of the high school football season. And every week, you know, as do I, that the media votes on the top teams for all seven classes of high school football in South Dakota. And this week, we thought it'd be kind of fun to go through and give midterm grades to the media as far as what the preseason projections were and who's really sitting at the top.
You know, every year, you contact coaches and kind of get their straw poll idea of who's going to be good in their class, but it's always just a huge guess. Now that we're halfway through, and like you said, midterms, always a good theme to kind of sit back and reflect and see what you have to do to finish up the year strong.
Well, and starting with 11 AAA, you had Brandon Valley and Sioux Falls Lincoln. Those were the two teams that were given first place votes in the preseason.
Yeah, they were tied. They were tied for number one,
Yeah, 1A, 1B type of situation. And, you know, I'd say pretty fair. I mean, those. Yeah. If I had to pick right now, I would say those probably are the two top teams in 11 AAA.
The only undefeated teams now that Jefferson has lost. So I think that was a pretty good projection. And then Harrisburg, Jefferson, O'Gorman, I mean, basically the same top five in a little bit different order. So I think we give the media a pat on the back and give them an A for that one. Gold star, guys.
How about 11 AA? Do we give the media as high of a grade in this one?
I think the media may have been, I don't want to say lazy, that's probably the wrong term, but they're just programmed to put Pierre at number one, you know, because 15, they've done it for so long.
15 first place votes in the preseason.
And they haven't been the number one team yet. They've been very inconsistent. But the good news is, for the rest of the class, everybody's been inconsistent in this class. Everybody has shown that they can play at the very top of the level, and everybody's shown we've got some weaknesses too. So almost impossible to grade. I say a B.
In 11A, Sioux Falls Christian was sort of looked at as like the undisputed. You know, Lennox did get the one first place vote at the in the preseason. It's really been all Sioux Falls Christian this year for 11A. How would you grade the media on this one?
Yeah, of the top five at the beginning of the year, four of those teams are still in the top five. So I think the media projected that well, and they really projected Sioux Falls Christian well. Basically got all the first place votes at the beginning of the year and are still getting all the first place votes. I say A for 11A.
11B, a lot of first place votes for winner to start the year. They've had three losses on the season. There's been, you know, St. Thomas More, who I think is one of the best teams in 11B, you know, had no first place votes coming out the gate, you know, including from myself. But, you know, how do we grade this one? Because it just seems like maybe the media missed just a little bit on 11B.
You could argue a failing grade, maybe, or a below average grade. But I'm going to give us a little bit of mercy here and give us a C. The two teams that got first place votes at the beginning of the year, Winter and Sioux Valley, are now not in the top five. And the three other teams in the top five are all undefeated. So we got a little bit mixed up, but we got a few things kind of right.
9AA, we've got Elkton, Lake Benton, Hamlin, Parkston, Viberg, Hurley, they all received first place votes. Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, was number five in the preseason poll. They didn't get any first place votes, but they are looking like they should have been maybe at least in the top two for preseason.
Yes, I think we got kind of the top five teams are all good, so we'll give them some credit there. But the top team has been Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, and we only had them at five, so We'll give them a B. We'll give you a B.
9A, Howard got a lot of first place votes. Wall also had the same amount of first place votes. Wall, very good football team.
Very good football team. They probably should have been number one. They were in my eyes at the beginning of the year. But Howard, very good team as well. So again, a B. We had a few teams right, a few teams wrong, but overall, pretty good job by the media.
9B, a lot of votes for the defending champs and Sully Buttes to start the year. Avon had a few. St. Mary's had a couple. Falkton had one. How are things looking in 9B as far as what the media projected?
I think the media did a really good job. They had the top four contenders at the beginning of the year in those top four slots. Those four teams are still at the top four, a little different order. But anytime you do that, we'll give you an A.
I'm Nate Weck. This is Jason Andera. This has been Your Morning in Play.
And I'm Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out SDPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.